Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about us by visiting on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. On the show, we've traditionally talked to government officials about their job and their leadership and management experiences. Today, however, we are doing something different. October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, so today we're holding a special show focusing on how the federal government supports that part of our workforce with disabilities. Our guests today are Dr. Roy Grizzard, Assistant Secretary for Disability Employment Policy at the U.S. Department of Labor. Good morning, Dr. Grizzard.
Good morning, Paul. I'm delighted to be here.
And also joining us is Jim Gibbons, CEO and President of National Industries for the Blind. Good morning, Jim.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Dr. Grizzard, you're the first Assistant Secretary for Disability Employment Policy. Could you tell us about your office?
The Office of Disability Employment Policy was created by the 2001 Appropriations Act, and we've been in the process of getting up and running, and we feel like that now we're starting to hit our strides. Our responsibility and mission is to help to develop policies that will lower the barriers for the employment of people with disabilities. We have a full-time equivalent staff of about 65 individuals, very dedicated and talented professionals, and we're beginning to work to develop some of those policies that we hope that will help to make a dent in the unemployment rate that's prevalent among people with disabilities.
Why now? I was surprised to learn it was the first office.
I think that Congress and others realized that the unemployment rate, which we believe hovers somewhere around 70% among people with disabilities, was quite high. It places a tremendous strain on the Social Security Trust Fund. So there was a decision made to improving or lowering that rate. So this particular agency was set aside at a sub-cabinet level position within the Department of Labor to work on that very issue.
Well, Jim, can you tell us more about the missions and the activities of the National Industries for the Blind?
Well, National Industries for the Blind is focused. Our mission is to enhance the economic and the personal independence of people who are blind, and we do that through creating and sustaining and improving employment. We've got a network of 85 associated agencies around the country with operations in over 150 locations, and they have fabulous operational capabilities both in manufacturing, service contracting, and most importantly, they have enabling a belief in the capability of people who are blind, and they create enabling work environments that support independence. National Industries for the Blind really serves as the representative for those 85 agencies into the federal marketplace, and we serve as a program manager, a marketer, a business developer, and really a business arm in support of capabilities, not only of those organizations, but the capabilities of the 5,000 blind people that work throughout that network of agencies.
And what's your role and responsibilities as the president and CEO?
Well, as the president and CEO, I serve not only as a spokesperson for National Industries for the Blind, but I really serve as a servant to a lot of players. I serve as a person dedicated to ensure that we're bringing best value to our federal customers. I work closely with the regulatory body called the Committee for Purchase from People who are Blind or Severely Disabled, which is a small federal agency that really provides the oversight over the Javits-Wagner O'Day program. And I serve in both a leadership and a support capacity for our network of associated agencies to ensure that across the program, we're deploying programs, marketing programs, business development, new opportunity identification initiatives so that we can grow employment across the country and take a bite out of that 70% unemployment rate Dr. Grizzard referred to just a few moments ago.
Dr. Grizzard, tell us about your role and responsibility in your office.
Well, my role is similar in terms of the fact of providing leadership to that office. I look at myself as being one who has a responsibility administratively in giving oversight and leadership and management to the actual agency that's dealing with everything everything from personnel issues to budget issues to the very reason that we're there, and that's the development of policies and programs that will assist people with a wide range of disabilities to become employed, or people who are already employed who become disabled to be able to retain their position. Further, I look quite a bit at my role in terms of being the public spokesman for the Office of Disability Employment Policy, getting out there and meeting with businesses across the country to give them an idea of the fact that people with disabilities can enhance their businesses, to sell them on the business model that it is good business for businesses to employ people with disabilities. And so I also find myself quite frequently being a spokesman, giving speeches and making remarks at various events across the country. And so basically, I'm the face of ODEP, if you will.
Both of you are involved in improving employment opportunities for people with disabilities. I wonder if you could describe for our listeners the experiences that led you to be interested in this area, as well as how you came to your current position. Dr. Grizzle, let me kind of start with you.
Well, Paul, as we were talking before we came into the studio a little while ago, that my career actually began in the field of education. In fact, I was in education, public education, for about 27 and a half years in various capacities, most of it administratively. Over that period of time, I began to lose my vision. I have retinitis pigmentosa, which is a retinal disease that results basically, for the laity, I'll just say it results in extreme tunnel vision. I have about a 10-degree field of vision. As that began to develop, I certainly became interested not only in employment issues for people with low vision or blind, but in terms of advocacy. And later, it led to me at about the age of 50 being asked by then-governor, now Senator Allen, to head the Virginia Department for the Blind and Vision Impaired. That agency provides comprehensive rehabilitative services, daily living services, rehabilitation services for people who are blind, vision impaired, or deafblind. I headed that agency for 8 years. It was during that period of time, in fact, that I became very familiar with the program of the National Industries for the Blind, because Virginia is one of the few states that actually within the state department actually runs the Virginia Industries for the Blind, which was our industry division. So naturally in that, I was on various boards with other disability-related agencies and became very aware of the entire comprehensive and wide-ranging issues related to people with disabilities, health issues, Medicare, Medicaid issues, rehabilitation issues, employment issues. And from that, I was asked by President Bush to take the responsibility as the first Assistant Secretary of ODEP. And so that's where I am. And that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of how I got to this point.
Jim, how about you?
Well, I started my career after graduating from Purdue University in an industrial engineering program working in the telecommunications industry. And I spent about 7 years in a variety of operations jobs and then marketing jobs, and then decided to go to graduate school, and I got my MBA at the Harvard Business School. It was an interesting experience for me because I was the first blind person to attend Harvard's MBA program. And after graduating from both Purdue and the Graduate School of Business up at Harvard, in both situations, I had a very interesting experience in terms of employers' reaction to my blindness. I ended up going back to AT&T, and I worked in mergers and acquisitions, and that led me to running a company that we bought. I was the president and CEO of a wholly owned subsidiary. It was a software company with a small manufacturing piece, and out in Phoenix, Arizona. And never really thinking that I would enter into the field of blindness, or sometimes we affectionately call it the blindness biz, I got a phone call from the search firm when they were looking for a new CEO. And it was, for me, a career inflection point, I'd say, in terms of did I want to step into this field or continue working in the pure business arena. But National Industries for the Blind has an incredibly interesting and exciting business model. We are a national not-for-profit organization. We do no charity fundraising. We really operate off of a commission structure on what we work with our associated agencies on and move, you know, our high-quality products or services into the federal marketplace. So it was really leveraging my business background to step into this. And so from a professional perspective, it gave me an opportunity to broaden my scope and scale because our program is significantly bigger than the subsidiary that I ran for AT&T. And the scope is much wider. We have a wide range of product categories and offerings. So for me, it was a decision on professionally to kind of broaden my experience. And then personally is, you know, could I shift from a guy that was maybe, quote, successful in the sighted world and maybe over time have a great deal of influence to maybe being a direct impact player for the people in our program, so maybe shift from that influencer to a direct impact player on the lives of people who are blind in terms of their employment goals and objectives.
Those are fascinating descriptions. Since October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month, it's natural to want to find out how this came to be established. We'll find out more from our guests, Dr. Roy Grizzard of the Department of Labor and Jim Gibbons of National Industries for the Blind, when the Business of Government Hour returns.